Welcome to E-commerce Explained, the podcast that'll help you to start, launch, and grow your own successful online store. My name is Warwick Hearns, and I'm South Africa's e-commerce expert. Back in 2010, I founded the award-winning online store Action Gear, and I grew that business from zero to doing over 20 million rand in annual revenue back in 2017, when I sold the business so that I could dedicate myself to helping South African online entrepreneurs just like you to avoid the pitfalls which I had to overcome so that you can achieve more success online faster. I'm really excited that you're listening to this, and I look forward to having you on this journey with me, where I'm going to show you how to get your online store started, grow your sales with the best digital marketing methods, and scale your business to bring about more and more success. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review with your thoughts. Let's get into this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast and welcome to this next episode where I am focusing on one of the major hurdles that I see people facing and needing to overcome when they're just getting started, or even if you're up and running and you want to expand your sales. In either of those cases, you need suppliers. You need to get products that you can put onto a website that you can sell. And in order to get products, you need a supplier. And in this episode, I'm going to be sharing my four best tips that you can use to get a foot in the door, to get the conversation going, to get them to want to work with you. So I've got four great tips that I'm going to share with you to help you overcome this challenge of just trying to get suppliers to even recognize you, to respond to you, and heck, to want to work with you instead of you knocking on their door. And I've also got some tips that I'll be wrapping up at the end of this episode, some of my best tips when it comes to selecting suppliers and just working with them in general. So let's kick this off by starting with the first tip that I've got when it comes to getting a foot in the door, getting them to recognize your conversation, getting them to even respond to you. And one of the first tips that I want to share is a simple one, yet a very effective one, and also a very scary one, because this tip is to not email them. The tip here is to phone them. And I know that as an entrepreneur, often we are doing this in our sideline, or like we are starting up. Maybe you're doing this while you're sitting at work and you can't really pick up your phone and make this call comfortably. Or sometimes people are hesitant to make this phone call because these days, everybody sends WhatsApps and instant messages, but phoning is something that we are less and less comfortable with. But really, when you are trying to get in touch with somebody, sending an email, especially if it's just through the contact form on their website, your email lands on top of the pile with everybody else's. Because let's be honest, you're not the only one that is reaching out to the supplier asking to sell their products. They probably get dozens of requests all the time, and your email is just falling in with all the rest of them. Whereas if you phone, then when you phone, you can ask to speak to the right person. Hi, who's in charge of this department? Or I'd like to sign up to become a reseller. Who can I speak to? And when you speak to that person and you get their name, you immediately build a bit of rapport. You build that connection. They know who you are. They know to expect your email if that's the next step. But even if they do say, please send an email as a follow-up, that's great because they now know who you are. They know your name, and that's immediately put you outside of just that other pile of everybody else who's reaching out by email, because that's how most people do it. And if you want to stand out, if you want them to say yes to you, then pick up the phone and give them a call. Write down the person's name. Make sure you know who you've spoken to, because if they never come back, if they don't respond to you in a week or so, you can phone them back up and ask to speak to the same person and check if they got your application or not. But giving a phone call really is the simplest and the first tip that I want to share with you. And it really does set you apart. So this one may be daunting. Maybe you need to find some time at work, take a smoke break, take a lunch break, and go outside and make this phone call. But really, this is the first step, and it's an easy one for you to do. So that's one that we can tick off pretty quickly. Now, my second tip is about when you phone them or when you send this follow-up email, what is the focus of your communication? Well, let's think about what everybody else is saying. Everybody else is saying, hey, I want to dropship your products, or hey, I want to sell your products on my website. And they are getting that from every single person who applies. What about taking a different focus, just a slightly different focus, one that again sets you apart from everybody else, and one that focuses on the goals of the company? Because when we think about it, the wholesaler or the supplier that we're reaching out to, They have all of these products and they are trying to get them out into the market through resellers, but also through just general brand awareness. And one of their goals is to create that brand awareness and to create the brand. So if you were to reach out and say, hey, I want to dropship your stuff, then that's not going to excite them all too much because that's what everybody else is saying. But if you could rather pitch to them and say that this is what you see yourself doing to help their brand, or perhaps you're going to an event and you want to take their product to an event and get them exposure, or perhaps you can do some advertising on your website, you could put up a banner, or if you have an email list, even if it's 100 people, you could say that when we launch these new products on our website, we're going to email our entire database, all 100 of them. They don't need to know that. But the focus really should be about the marketing that you can offer this company. Because yes, they want sales, but everybody else is offering them that. What you can offer them is brand awareness, brand exposure, which helps them to achieve their goal. Because often they have brand principles, their suppliers. And their suppliers are really just pushing down branding and marketing, not so much sales, because that comes afterwards. So when you pitch to them about marketing, you are speaking their love language. That's what they want to hear. And there again, you immediately put yourself outside of the rest of the pack. Everybody else who's dropping an email saying that they'd want to list the products on the site and maybe do a bit of drop shipping, they're going to remember you. Now you've given them a phone call and you've pitched them about what you can do for them in terms of marketing, you're already one step ahead of everybody else. The third tip that I want to share with you, and this may be a difficult one a difficult pill to swallow, but most suppliers have a minimum order quantity. You guys know what I'm talking about. They call it an MOQ. And this minimum order quantity, what do you think that the purpose of that MOQ is really there for? Well, I can explain this through an example because I've seen this firsthand. And what I saw this happening was with the brand GoPro. You know, I was the first person in Africa to be selling the GoPro cameras. And at the time, I was the exclusive importer and distributor. But a little side note here, and this was an important lesson for me to learn, was that I was the exclusive importer, and I'm putting air quotes here, but I didn't have a contract. I had a handshake deal with the founder of GoPro, Nick Woodman, who I had known from my time in e-commerce in Europe. I knew Nick Woodman. I said, I'm coming down to South Africa, to my home country, and I'm going to start selling your products here. He knew that I could sell these products because I'd been selling tons of them in Europe. And I came back here and he said, you're my man, Warwick. And we had a handshake agreement saying that I was going to be his guy in Africa. That worked very well, except 2 years later, he then formalized an agreement with a different company. And while I was a little bit bitter in the beginning, rather what I choose to look at this as is a wonderful life lesson about getting a contract in place. And that could be an entire podcast all on its own. But what happened was that they appointed a really great company, and to their credit, this was actually the right decision for them. They appointed a great distribution company to be their exclusive partner in South Africa. And that company in the beginning, well, they wanted lots and lots of sellers to be selling GoPro cameras. So they wanted to get it out into the market. They wanted that brand awareness. They wanted that marketing by getting this product across multiple different sellers. And so in the beginning, there was very low minimum order quantities because they wanted people to get it out there. But as the demand for GoPros grew over the next few years, then they had more and more resellers knocking on their door saying, I also want to sell GoPro. Please give me GoPro. I want to sell GoPro because they knew that this was a hot product and that if they put this in their store or on their website, they were going to sell cameras. And it was a very interesting journey to see where in the beginning, their minimum order quantity was just a few thousand rand. It was just to get people committed to this idea that they're going to take enough stock so that they can accurately represent the brand. But then as the demand for GoPro grew over the years and as they became a more established brand, that minimum order quantity went up and up and up and up, almost to the point where if a new retailer wanted to start selling GoPros and they found out what this minimum order quantity was, they were shocked and appalled. Because really what the minimum order quantity was doing was telling them to get lost. They were saying like, and I can't share this number because it's not my number to share. It was in a contract with one of my suppliers. But the minimum order quantity for a new seller to come on board was very, very high. I was going to say outrageous, but it was really high. And so all the new excited people who wanted to be selling GoPros, well, they just couldn't. And so now if you think about it from the supplier's point of view, what does this minimum order quantity serve its purpose for? Well, what it does is it gets people to commit to enough products to accurately represent the brand that they are now buying and selling, but also it keeps away the smaller players. People who can't meet the minimum order quantity, well, the suppliers don't want to be working with them. They want to attract bigger players. So when your supplier says to you, the MOQ is 5,000 Rand or 10,000 Rand or 100,000 Rand, then what they're saying to you is, they are saying, if you want to play this game, you need to commit. You need to get some skin in the game. And in order to commit, and in order for us to know that you are committed, you need to put this much money down. And when you do, that allows you to open up an account. And so where I'm going with this tip number three is that when you reach out to a new supplier, you can find out what their MOQ level is and say, yes, I will commit to that. Because if you start umming and ahhing and say, well, that's really low. Can I negotiate? Maybe I could start with 50% now and 50% next month. They don't want to deal with you. Their MOQ is there to stop smaller players coming up to them and wanting to sell their stuff. Because they also have account managers and they want to give you a great relationship once you have an account. So there is a cost for them having you as a customer, especially if they're going to start doing activations with you and so on and so forth. So they have put these MOQs in place in order to really just filter out the small guys. So even if that MOQ is a big number for you, and whatever their number might be, it's always relative. But even if that feels like a big chunk, then if you really want to work with a supplier, my advice, and this is tip number three, is to meet their MOQ. To suck it up and go and get and order all that stock. And also to back yourself to know that you can sell that stock, because that's really important. But if you give them the phone call, you focus on marketing, and you say that you're willing to meet their minimum order requirements, you are in the door. You are going to have a new supplier relationship set up with this company, and they are going to want to work with you. If you don't do any of these things, you might just fall into the pile of everybody else who is also applying to become a reseller, but they aren't doing it in the right way. Okay, so now it comes to tip number four, and this is a tricky one, especially when people are getting started. This tip is around your website, and this is a bit of a catch-22, because I know when you're getting started, especially when you're just starting out, you don't necessarily want to turn on your website until you've got the right products on your site. But the reason that this is a catch-22 is because my tip to you is that when you approach these resellers, or these suppliers rather, you must have a professional looking website up and running, because that's going to be the first thing that the supplier checks out. They're going to go and see, well, what does your website look like? Because we don't want to deal with anybody, especially if their website doesn't look great. And so they need to find a professional website when they look at your site. And this is truly a catch-22, especially when your site is not live, because you need products to put on your site to make your site live. But in order to get these products, you need to have your site live. And so the way that you can get around this, and this is a shortcut of note and a whole different podcast episode altogether, but you could go and get some dropshipping products. You could use a service provider like Dropstore, or you could use any different supplier, maybe a friend of yours, a cousin, a neighbor, somebody that you know. Just find products which fit into your niche, the products that you want to be selling, and get their permission to put their products onto your website. Now that you've got products on your site, make the site live, be sure that it looks professional, and then you can use this as one of your tools. It's kind of like your digital business card when you approach this new supplier. Because if you approach a new supplier and you say that your website doesn't even exist yet, it's not live, it doesn't look all that professional in their mind, in their opinion. And so if you have a professional looking website, then it's going to once again help you to get a foot in the door, and you'll be one step closer to them wanting to work with you. And that's really what I want for you, is for you to follow these four tips that I've just shared to make your life easier, to be able to get a foot in the door and to get access to these products that you're excited about selling. Once you've got them, stick them on your site, advertise them, get some traffic on your site, and hopefully start seeing sales tick over. But after sharing these four tips, I did promise to wrap up with two of my core tips when it comes to suppliers. The first tip, and this is probably the most important thing I've said so far, is when it comes to suppliers, my advice is rather to pick fewer good suppliers than to look for lots of smaller suppliers. To pick fewer good suppliers rather than to look for lots of smaller suppliers. And I know, when you're starting out, you get like this fever where you see products all over the show and you say, I want to be selling that, and that product would fit well on my site, and this would be cool. And all of these products are from different companies, but in your mind, they all must be on your website. But if you have to go and set up 20 different suppliers to get these products from 20 different suppliers, it's going to make your management of your business really, really complicated, to be honest, especially if you have one product or just a few products from each of these 20 suppliers. This means like when you get an order, you need to remember who you got it from. Where do you have to organize the courier to go and get it from? What is their terms of business, and so on and so forth. And you also won't be doing a lot of business with each of the suppliers because you're spreading it out over all of them. So if you can rather find 1, 2, or maybe even 3 big suppliers who have a wide basket of goods that you can just build a good relationship with, you can have a strong working relationship with them, you can really integrate into their systems and learn how they operate. And then when you're just focusing on selling the goods of 1 or 2 suppliers, then you're moving a lot of their stock. And when you're moving a lot of their stock, it helps you to build that relationship even stronger. Because when they see you doing very little business, oh, they're not too interested in you. But as your sales start to grow and as you're moving more of their products, well, they very quickly become very interested in who you are and how they can support you to sell even more. So my tip here, and this is a good one, is to rather pick fewer good suppliers than lots of smaller suppliers. And that's one that I recommend to absolutely everybody listening in here. And just to wrap up, in terms of this episode, when it comes to suppliers, I know that there is a hesitation that might be holding you back. This hesitation that once you've identified a product, maybe you've even connected with the supplier and they've maybe even said, yes, you can actually buy their products. Now comes the point of making a commitment, a financial commitment, taking your hard-earned rands and buying inventory. You know, there's this fear that sits in the back of your head that says, oh, what if I buy this inventory and it doesn't sell? What happens if I take all of my money, I buy the stock and it sits just underneath my desk or in my stockroom, and I can't sell it? What's going to happen then? What will that mean? And you know, that leads down this rabbit hole of, will it become a failure? And this is a thought that is natural. It's a fear that sits with everybody who's starting out. But my advice to you is that once you have found a product that you're excited about and you've convinced that supplier to work with you, then go for it. Put your money into it. And when you do that, you will find yourself committed 110%, because when you're sitting back, not having made that financial commitment, not having putting any skin in the game, there's always a way out. There's always a way back. But when you put that money down, that is committing 110%. And when you do that, you'll see it in yourself, that you'll shift your behavior. You'll start doing more marketing. You'll start doing more activity on your website, because now you've put money down, you've got skin in the game, and you need to start getting these sales to turn this inventory back into money. And that, my friends, is an awesome line to cross, because once you cross that line, it means you're in the game. And once you're in the game, it means that you can start selling more, growing this business, and start learning the lessons that you need to learn in order to reach the success that you want to grow to. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys today. But if you're listening to this episode in the week that it's gone live, then be sure to check out my flagship signature program called Your Online Store. Enrollment only opens twice a year, and it's open right now during the week that this episode dropped. So if you're listening to it promptly, then pop across to insarco.co.za. And this is where I will share so much deeper training on finding suppliers, understanding which products are going to be the best sellers or not, predicting the success of a product. Yeah, I can show you how to do that. I've got more training on finding suppliers, just like what I've shared today. But we go on to learn how to build the website. I'll teach you how to do it. You don't have to pay somebody else to do this for you. I will show you how. I teach it on both Shopify and WordPress. In fact, the Shopify training is so thorough and so good that it has been approved by Shopify themselves as a Shopify approved education program. And the WordPress training is equally good. From there, once you've learned how to build your own site, I'll hold your hand through every step of the process so that we go on to learn about managing customers' expectations and deliveries, learning about search engine optimization, conversion rate optimization, and all the marketing that you need to know but also operationally, how to build a sustainable e-commerce business, how to build a successful business that you can grow and you can start generating proper money through this online business of yours. So if you're starting out or if you have tinkered around with a website and you want to see how to do it properly, then now's the time to go across to insaco.co.za and learn more about my signature program. Enrollment only opens twice a year. It's open this week, but it's closing real soon. So don't miss out, otherwise it'll be another 6 months before we open it up again. So thanks for listening. Please do go ahead, pop across to insaco.co.za to book your spot and to read more about my signature program, Your Online Store. Thank you for listening to this episode. I'm excited to have you along on this journey with me, and I wish you all the best with implementing this information in your own online store. If you'd like to access my free range of e-commerce strategies, tools, and mini courses that have helped thousands of South African entrepreneurs just like you, then be sure to visit insaco.co.za/free. I'm looking forward to chatting to you in the next episode. Till then, take care.